This is CliffCentral.com.
Do you have a holiday at all?
I'm actually on holiday as we speak.
I'm interrupting your holiday.
No, well, when I heard it was you, like, I the last interview we did was a very pinnacle moment. It sounds very dramatic, but it was the best interview I've ever done. I felt comfortable.
Thank you. I remember talking to you, and I remember that was like the first time you really spoke about your relationships.
Yeah, I don't know how you got it out of me, but it did. So.
I wasn't digging. It was just we were having a chat, you know?
Well, I think that's what happens when I think you have like a meaningful conversation. I think that like I kind of forgot that I was on air. And I felt like I was just talking to you, you know, so I think that was the gold about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was very special. I mean, every time I've had you or Duda or Mo here, and when all three of you have been here, which is a rare thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always special. But listen, dude, first of all, congratulations on the book.
Thanks, man.
I saw it in the airport in Cape Town and in Joburg, number one.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's wicked, man.
That's terrific.
It's still unbelievable. Like, even when I see it at home and, you know, I cooked from it yesterday and it's just like, it's just so much fun and I can't believe that it's here. My mom is like lank emotional.
She must be so impressed. Listen, the whole way this happened was just insane. You said that you put an Instagram picture of a meal you'd cooked up and that was the whole start of this.
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I guess it's the privilege that it comes with being followed. And that's one of the things that I've never taken lightly is just that, like, I find it weird that people are interested in what I do. Like, all I wanted to do was write a song and sing with my guitar. That's all I ever wanted to do. And now I have all these privileges because of people's, you know, support. Mm. So that's a blessing, man.
You know what's cool about that is that it's happened organically. And I know that word gets used in all the wrong places these days. But you've always loved cooking. You've always done a lot with food, but it was a private experience for you.
It's so wild because yesterday I was on social media. You know, Facebook gives you those reminders of like back in the days.
Yeah.
Like when I was at varsity, so way back before I even thought I could do anything within music, never mind food. There's actually a picture of me, you know, cooking in somebody's house and I was young and it was like, and their caption was Jay's Plan B. It was like so weird. Like yesterday I was like, nah, man, this can't be real. So I screen grab, I'm going to post it. So people can see it. Yeah.
Well, what's also cool about this is that I watched you on My Kitchen Rules. And first of all, I mean, like you really are comfortable on television. Like you were very good off the bat, which I know sounds like it should be something you should be easy, you know, for people to do, especially if you performed on stage in front of people. It's a very different experience, right?
Yeah, it's totally different. And I think that's exactly why I did that show. You know, I've been offered to do many, many a TV shows, especially within music, you know, and I think that I never felt like, oh yes, I want to do that so badly, you know, and when this came along, it was a show that was about home cooks. And that's exactly what I am. Like when I look back at my journey and I look at my cookbook, I think like, I'm just a guy that likes cooking at home, that has this privilege of having a following, you know, on social media. And so the show is very much in my line. You know, it's not about being a chef. It's not MasterChef, you know, it's like, you know, do you know how to do these methods? It's just some guys from their homes cooking, trying to win $1 million. Like, sure. You know, who wouldn't want to do that? Like, I'd want to be there. So it's felt very comfortable. It's felt very, as you say, organic. It felt very me. So it helps.
I don't enjoy these cooking shows normally. I liked watching this. I mean, it wasn't just because Brent, who's got a show here, is one of the contestants, not because I knew you or David. It was cool to just see like people doing what they love doing and doing it well and also getting some, you know, some pointers. That didn't make me want to run into the kitchen because I have no talent in that
area.
Well,
I think it's exactly not that. It's not just a cooking show.
Entertaining.
Exactly. It's more of like a drama cooking thing more than anything, you know?
I heard behind the scenes there was even more drama than what they showed on TV.
Dude, it was crazy, man. I mean, and it's so frustrating sometimes because you're like, you watch an episode and people are like, oh my God, that was such a cool episode. And they watch the 40 minutes and you're like, well, we waited like 3 hours between meals for that to shoot that, you know? We spent like 20 hours shooting that episode.
And then they cut out some of the stuff. Yeah. Like, why didn't you keep that
in? Exactly. Like, the one time, I mean, I remember you speak about Brent, like we had such a dramatic moment around the table around them, you know, because they did really well in their home sort of visit, and they got the highest score from the judges, from myself and David, but they got the lowest score from the contestants. And I can talk about this now because the season one is over. Right. And we had drama, dude. And I was like, why don't they put all of that in, you know? But it was a bit over the top. I left the table. I was like, I can't handle this, man. It's too much. Because Brent and them really went at the other people. It was classic.
But you had, like, 2017 has got to be one of the highlight years for you.
Yes, Gareth. It was such a hard, so much into such a good year. It was.
First of all, Mikasa, you guys are still flying high.
Yeah, it's amazing. Good.
I know you spoke when we last had all three of you here that you'd gone through a bit of a rough patch and the three of you weren't exactly on the same page for a while.
Yeah.
Then you got that together again.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to ruin a good thing.
No.
So that's going well.
Yeah.
Then you had the launch of your restaurant, which is so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I came along to that because it was very, very special. Awesome. Some nice people there. Just a great vibe. The food itself was terrific. And then the book. And My Kitchen Rules. It just seems like you're doing everything. How do you top 2017?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I've been reflecting a lot on 2017. And I think that's what we do at this time of the year is just reflect a little bit on what the year was. And I get that, you know, people definitely see, and I see all the achievements, you know, but it was really also like a tough year, you know. It was a hard year, like personally with family. We had some tough times as a family. So I think that, you know, at the end of the day, like one of the things that I realized in 2017 is that I don't want to be a famous person. Like that's not my ambition in life. I don't want to die being a famous dude. I want to die being a good husband, you know, a good father, a good family person. I want to be there with my mom. I want to be there with my brother. And that's something that, you know, the last 6 years has been such a trip because I've been busy. Literally, I'm going on my first holiday in 6 years this Feb. I'm going to Portugal for a month to go see my family because I had enough. Like it was a tough year because you wake up sometimes and you're like, wow, I'm so busy. I'm doing all these things.
Well, you don't have any control over your schedule.
Yeah.
And I imagine December was frenetic. You were doing gigs everywhere, right?
It was mental, man. It was just mental.
And book launches.
Yeah. Last year was the first Christmas that I decided I'm taking off. And I the first, like, my family, like, that I have here, they were like, it's so amazing to have you here for Christmas.
We're
not
used to this.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, I miss this. And, you know,
but why do you say it was – I mean, you don't have to give me the details here, but you say it was a tough thing from a family point of view?
Well, yeah. Well, my mom had like a mild heart attack, which was a very tough moment for me. You know, my mom and I, we grew up together my whole life. Since I was seven, like I've been alone with my mom since I was seven. So, that was a very, very tough moment. Something that I actually have never shared with the world, you know, whatever we want to call it. And that was a really tough moment for me. And I think that also just being so busy has been really tough because, you know, sometimes I can see that my wife is like, where are you? You know, like, and that My Kitchen Rules era, like we did a new album. We were on tour promoting the album. We were shooting My Kitchen Rules. I was doing the book. You know, I was having to be at the restaurant.
Like, and your kid didn't see you either, right?
It was mental. Like the whole time of it all was mental. And then also like something that I've never mentioned in the world as well. And you mentioned it now, like, passing by is that I have a light, you know, like I have my firstborn child, which is also like, you know, when you look at that and you sum up everything and you're like, yeah, I'm busy.
But don't say you didn't mention it. You dedicate your book to it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's why I like now
reading between the lines here.
No, I just haven't, I haven't really spoken about this.
I'd like to dedicate my first cookbook to my little king. And you give his name and you say, everything I do is for you. So either it's your kid or there's some secret lover you haven't told us about. But I mean, that was quite special. I saw it as
that added to the year, you know, like that added to the year that 2017 was.
Right.
So it's been a journey. And I think the busier you get, the more the less time you have to reflect on things around you because you get so carried away that now when I started, when My Kitchen Rules ended, I was just like, this isn't mental, man. Like, I can't carry on like this because this isn't my ambition.
See, a lot of people look at your life now, and I imagine even whether they're musicians or whether they're celebrity chefs or whether they're just famous people, they look at you now and they're like, wow, he's really riding high. This is this is great. And maybe they're even a bit jealous of that.
Yeah.
But then they don't know about the pressure and the stress. And I can kind of understand
that.
For sure. You just want to get away for a little bit because you've almost lost yourself in all of this. You become a robot. You just arrive on set at this time. You're in studio at that time. You do that. You do this. You sort of forget the creative process that got you into it in the first place.
Like, I've been home now for a week, like just chilling. And my wife is like, dude, I don't know what to do with you. Like, it's like a week. Like, it feels like a year. It feels like you've been home for a year. So, yeah. And I think it's also the realize, cause you know, one of the things that I think I wish like the youth knew more was that success isn't money.
Yeah.
Success isn't working hard. Like, success is having good friendships, having good, strong relationships. Like, that is what success is. And that I realized that very late in my life because, but I think it all comes in due time. I think that when you are young, you need to hustle and you need to push. It also shapes you a lot. But I think you also need to have that realization at some point of your life that like, yo, let me just focus on the things that I really love and actually build things that are lasting.
Yeah, if you look at the stuff that everybody gets uptight about, right? You hear people worrying about the leadership of political parties.
Mm.
And like, how much does that really affect you and me?
Yeah.
Zero.
I've got zero like
and,
passion.
And if you didn't have a university degree, it wouldn't mean you were a failure either. I mean, I've got a BA for God's sake. What does that count for? What do you got?
I got a BCom, but
there we go.
I mean, so, it's the
what
same.
What do those count for?
Same jazz.
Yeah. Yeah. So here you are. You're doing all these things, and actually, all you want is to spend some time with your family, is to relax, be in the pool, or just lying around. Have you been spending a lot of time now?
I've been at the pool, just sleeping. I've been like binging on Netflix, like just. It's just been so amazing. Like, even when I'm tired and I'm like, I should go have a nap, I'm like, nah, I got to play FIFA, more FIFA.
Right.
Get it all in while I can.
Shit, that's cool.
Yeah.
And you're seeing awesome. People that you can actually look at your diary and go, okay, well, maybe I'll invite those people around and we'll have a drink or something.
Yeah, like the only thing in my diary is headspace. Like, just do a bit of headspace. That's the only thing that's in my diary.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So what kind of a life is this now? So people behind the scenes can get an idea of what your life is behind the scenes. So you're living in what, in the suburbs?
Yeah, I live in the parks, yeah.
Okay, very, very nice. And is this a massive, massive house?
It's not massive. It's not like over the top massive. It's a good family house. It's big, but it's not huge.
Okay.
I got my own studio.
Very nice.
I got things that I think sound impressive, but when I look, it's not like I don't have like a huge ass lawn, you know, that like you can, you know, put up a slide in and stuff like that.
Right.
I got lawn, but yeah, but it's nice. It's a how do you say, like a stand, freestanding house. I got two dogs. I got two bulldogs.
Now, I heard there was some drama with your dog.
Yes, man. Hey, I don't know what happened last night, but I just got off the phone with the vet. Like, they found a little bullet inside his leg. Like a pellet gun sort of bullet. So
he's
going into surgery now as we speak.
Oh, shit,
so I'm going to go check him out a little bit
later. Who shot him?
I don't know. I checked on my cameras, but it doesn't show that side. So I have to go.
So someone in the neighborhood?
Yeah, exactly, man. I don't understand. I don't
know.
Son
of a bitch.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
Is he all right though?
Yeah, he's fine. He's going to go under now. And
sorry,
man. It should be fine. Yeah, it should be easy.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking is because I was partying for New Year's Eve, which is something I haven't done for 14 years as a guest at a party. And I was having a really good time. I was pretty hammered. And somewhere around...
I must tell you about my New Year's when you tell
me. I want to hear. So somewhere around 1:30, there was this dude there who was... He was having the time of his life. And we were drinking together and like talking a lot of shit and shouting at each other and like all kind of, for about half an hour. And... Eventually, someone said to me, you know who that is? It's Ricky Rick. I had no idea. We were partying up a storm.
That's classic.
And I only realized later on, because I mean, I was out of it.
Yeah.
And then we ended up taking way too many drunk pictures
of
us, like pulling signs at cameras and shit. But he was on jet planes.
Yeah.
And like I saw the things he was doing over December, the guy's living large. Man.
Wild, man. I mean,
Jesus.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I'm just wondering if you have that kind of life.
I've had that. You know, last year we had four shows on New Year's and we were jetting around in that vibe, you know, renting.
Did you do New Year's? Tell me about your New Year's.
New Year's this year was very different. And I think that's why December wasn't as heavy as we did an exclusive gig. So we've been trying to do that for 6 years, just to get one gig, get paid extra and just be there. So we did Richards Bay
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was one of those SCBC 1 gigs where they broadcast it on TV and all that jazz. So there was a lot of people in front and at the back of the stage. It was just people everywhere. So when we got off stage, it was a bit chaotic, so we had to leave. And I'd planned, you know, like, chill, have a couple of drinks afterwards.
What time was your gig?
We were just after midnight.
Okay.
So it was around, like, 12:30, 12:45, I think. We had a cool show, and as we got off, pictures, and I was like, I can't chill here.
Got to get out of here.
Yeah, so we got out, went in the bus, went back, and literally sat in the reception of the hotel, and we're like, is this New Year's, man? Like, we don't even have a drink or anything. So we decided we're going to go to the garage and just celebrate with, like, a chocolate and a cool drink, because, you know, that's all we could get at that time. So on our way to the garage, what do we see in the middle of the road in town? A hippo. I'm like, there's a full-ass hippo in the middle of the road, chowing grass, out of nowhere, in Richards Bay. And I'm like, guys, 2018 is going to be surprising. Yeah, it was.
You got to watch out. Those things are dangerous.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're crazy dangerous.
So you wanted to do a picture with it, right?
We stood there, like, for a while, you know, we stood there in our bus. It was a weird start to the year, but good, because I love animals.
I love the story, because everybody would imagine your New Year would be epic, you know?
Guys, like, we were four guys in my room in the hotel having a
garage chocolates.
Having a Gordon's gin with
– from the bar fridge.
We actually got in a Shebeen, like, late at night.
Oh, that's
beautiful. And we couldn't get tonic. We had, like, some weird-ass dash. I don't know what we were drinking it with. I even ate Future Life, like, at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning, because I was starving. It was a weird, weird New Year. So, yeah, I definitely wasn't jetting around bowling, you know, that God, sort of vibe.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was good. I'm looking forward to the year.
I am too. I don't know. You know, a lot of people said objectively, like, last year was difficult. 2017 was hard. And I think every year is hard. It has to be. Otherwise, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was a terrible year. I would like some more of that.
Yeah.
And a little extra, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, if I look at it, like, personally, like, I had a challenging year, but it was a good year. But I think that when you look at it
career-wise, you can't complain.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Mikasa and music as a whole, it's a weird thing. I'm still adjusting. I'm still trying to get back into it. Back into, like, that love that I have for music, because music's become a bit of a job, and I don't like that. So it's been very tough at times. But holistically, as a year, like, I think that you hear a lot of people, like, it was a struggle, and the whole political thing and whatever, like, which I don't understand a lot about, but I do understand it when my tax is getting paid, and then I'm looking at it from a holistic point of view. It does bum me out a bit, but I don't know enough about it to talk about it. But I think that 2018, for me personally, I just want to get out of my comfort zone even more, because I think that what I'm doing at the moment is kind of happening organically. But I have a lot of dreams and stuff that I still want to do, that I want to go and do them.
Okay, hang on, because this makes me nervous. You didn't plan to become a TV chef. You didn't plan to become a restaurant owner. None of that stuff happened. No. That got you out of your comfort zone. Are you hiding some talent from us that you don't know about yet? Is there some other thing?
Yeah, it's still within the same field. You know, like, with the cooking thing, like, one of my dreams is I really want to do a festival. I really want to do cooking festival where we incorporate music and food and celebrate South Africa through that. That's one of my big passions that I want to do. You know, Jamie Oliver's got an amazing, it's called the Big Festival, and it's in the UK, and it's just a music, and it's a family day around music and food, which I think we all love music and food. And that's one of my dreams that I want to do this year. So let's see. Yeah.
Do you think, just to go back to the book for a second, because you've laid it out pretty simply, even an idiot like me could get this to work. No, really, you've got, like, difficulty levels.
Yeah.
You say how long it's going to take. You're very clear about it's probably, for someone who doesn't know a lot of cooking, it's like a godsend, because you can start somewhere and not feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
But do you think South Africans have a very sophisticated palate? I mean, your Portuguese heritage is helping you a lot in here, because God, Portuguese food is good.
It's good, right?
Yeah.
I love it, man.
You cannot, on any given day, given a choice of any Mediterranean country or any kind of cuisine anywhere, I'd choose Portuguese food every time. It's just, it feels
and
like
what grills me is that people like have you been to Portugal?
No.
Like, you need to eat Portuguese food
in Portugal.
Oh my God, man. Like, it's amazing here, but, like, it's on another level there.
See, I need to experience that, but do you think South Africans have the sophistication? Because, I mean, I look at how most South Africans eat. We eat like meat, but we just on the braai.
I think we've got a very specific palate. Like most, like I think we South Africans have got a very sweet palate. So when you look at like, you know, your butternut, it's got, you know, your sugar and your honey and your butter and whatever it is. You know, even there's a lot of things that we like that are sweet.
We like meat, even that, meat and carbs.
Bobwurtie, it's sweet. It's
meat and carbs.
Yeah.
Like we're so rudimentary, and I include myself. I often say I've got a real Philistine's palate because I don't know a huge amount about what goes into cooking. Mm. Firstly, I'm not that interested in the kitchen.
But, sure.
But it's also, I don't pick up some of the things that you have to be able to pick up to be a great cook, to be a great chef.
Yeah, I think there's a huge difference between a great cook and a great chef. I think a great chef is somebody that understands the science behind food and why you do certain things and what they do. You know, I know that you put yeast inside to rise, you know, but
you know, you're a chef.
No,
you're a chef. You've got a restaurant.
No. I'm very skeptical.
You've published a book and you've got a restaurant.
I say it in the first lines.
What do you need? Degree from Tim Noakes? What do you want? What do you want?
I say it in the beginning lines. Like, I'm not here to teach people how to cook. I'm here to show you what food I grew up with.
Double platinum selling and award winning musician wannabe chef.
Wannabe chef. Wannabe chef.
No,
wannabe.
Musician wannabe.
Yeah. But I think that like food is like cooking and becoming a good cook at home is just about, as cheesy as it sounds, it's just about setting some time up and planning and trying to have fun. And that's all I've tried to do here is to give people an insight as to how I cook and why I find it so fun is that I have music on.
Do you love it or you get stressed? Because
sometimes I get lang stressed. Like sometimes I get irritated when I can't do something. Sometimes you put like, I've often done put so much time into making something. Like the other day I made kimchi from one of my favorite cookbooks, which is Momofuku, which is one of my favorite restaurants in the States.
What is kimchi?
Kimchi is like, you know, acha? You know, we've got acha
yes,
here.
Okay.
So it's like, it's a Korean, sort of, Korean acha. It's a pickled cabbage and a whole bunch of other vegetables. And it takes time. It takes like a day to do that. And then when I taste the thing afterwards, I'm like, not so good. Cause I missed the one thing, and then you spend so much time trying to do something. Yeah. So it's a bit frustrating. But I think now the second time that I do it, I can have the kimchi that I want to have. And I think that's the process, but it's funny because that's one of the things that I really try and emphasize to people is that I'm not living the dream. I'm living my dream. I like cooking.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you have to like cooking.
No, but
it's okay.
This is so important.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of everybody generalizing for everyone else and people who aren't poor speaking up about what the poor want.
Yeah.
And people who are black saying that other black people should want this and people who are white saying other white people should want this.
Yeah.
And telling each other what to do. Just shut up. The whole lot of us. Like, you got your dream and my God, are you living it?
Yeah.
And I love the way, I mean, if there's ever an example, music, you always wanted to be a musician.
Yeah.
The cooking, you always wanted to do this. Now you're making that. You're making it big, though. You're doing it on a grand scale. If you do these festivals and things, I know it's going to be a massive success because you're going to put your heart and soul into it.
Yeah, for sure.
The book, your family, you do all of this and you do it meaningfully. Everybody's so involved, not you, everybody else is so involved in other people and other people's business and what other people are doing and thinking and saying and spending on, that they forget about their own dreams.
Yeah, for sure.
And then they get frustrated down the line. They're like, oh, Jay's so lucky.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's irritating to say the least, but yeah.
It's damn irritating.
Yeah.
So what's the tough stuff to make in here? Like, what did you put in and you thought, oh, these idiots are not going to get this right? Or people like me.
There's definitely one recipe. Like, you know, my life in cooking and my story the last 4 years in cooking has been going from just being at home cooking chicken and roast potatoes to now having a restaurant. That's all happened in the last 4 years, you know. So the book has that transition exactly. You know, you start off where I was born. So you have recipes that are Portuguese, you know, from my great grandmother, my aunt, my mom, things that, you know, my dad passed away. So the things that I put in there that I know he would have liked and that I wish I could have cooked for him. And then it kind of has a journey along my move to South Africa, the things that I learned when I came here, you know, the mushos, the braai, all these type of things that I learned here. And then it moves to the move to Joburg. And that's where I got, you know, exposed to
Makwinya,
Zikota, like the street foods of Joburg. yoga and that sort of thing. And then it moves on to me having a band. So we did a Mikasa fun chapter where it's like, if Mikasa were burgers, if Mikasa were omelets, yeah. what would it, you know, what would they look like? And then it moves into me cooking at home. And then I've included a very small chapter of my friends, my cooking friends. So David is there from Marble. Elise, who's kind of, been my sort of food mother along the journey. She's always, helped right. me with recipe development and that sort of thing.
Sure.
And then it moves on to the restaurant chapter, which is, you know, dishes from the restaurant that people have grown to love in the last 8 months that it's been open. And I think that, like that recipe right there, the catch that you're on, like that is a 2-page, recipe that includes a lot of different, equipment that you would need to specifically go out and buy to try and achieve this. But I think that's exactly what I try to show people is that it's a journey. So start off at the beginning. And then once you start to really enjoy it and really love it, then maybe do go out and buy a Thermomix, because a Thermomix is one of the greatest tools you can have in the kitchen. That can really take you out of your comfort zone and make you.
What does a Thermomix even look like? What
is it? Thermomix is like,
tell me what it is.
It's like a big blender, but that can do everything that, so it's a steamer, it's a blender, it's a chopper.
Wow.
It can steam, it can do a whole bunch of things.
Uh-huh.
And okay. it's got a scale in it as well. So it's very cool. Hmm. So I'd say the catch is probably the most difficult, recipe in there. But then in the same chapter, in the restaurant chapter, you got the wings and the deep fried mac and cheese, which is like four ingredients, which is like really, really easy to do. And they're pretty amazing.
David's, he's a real chef, yeah.
Oh yeah. I think he's taught me the most about food in the shortest time, sort of time frame. Like I've never seen somebody so dedicated to their job before in my whole life. The guy's there every day, 24/7, knows what's going on in every single aspect of the business, is always at the pass, is always making sure quality control, like, and that's exactly what a head chef does. You know, you never actually see a head chef cooking, which is one of the bizarre things. And it's also one of the biggest frustrations around head chefs is that they don't get to cook much because they're there making sure that the plate looks good, that each element is right. So yeah, David is a definite inspiration for me. And he's also become a very good friend with the whole My Kitchen Rules journey.
I was going to say, because on these shows, I mean, I know like from Idols, I got on really well with all the other judges and we're all still in contact. And, you know, we speak to each other often and it's a real friendship. But sometimes that doesn't happen on a show. Sometimes you're just on set, you're recording, and you get in, you get out, and you actually don't think about those people when you're not on the set.
For sure.
But with him, I mean, it seemed to me that the two of you had
a
lot of laughs. You seem to have got along really well.
You know, we both said it, like, you know, we've been asked, like, what is the highlight of the show? And for me, it was finding a new friend. Like, that was the highlight for me of My Kitchen Rules. Like, he's a damn good oak, and he's really talented, and he's a genuine guy.
Mm.
Like if you spend time with David, he's just the down to earth dude who loves what he does.
He's very South African.
Very, right? Very, he's very, like very South African. Very proud of his heritage and that sort of thing. So yeah.
But what I am amazed by is you always used to keep a lot of your family life and the rest of it to yourself.
Yeah.
In this book, you really let us into your world. You've got a picture of your mom in here. You've got a picture of your wife and your kid. And
yeah.
You've got... Yeah, well, it's like a picture of your kid's head.
Yeah,
but I mean, which I understand because it's really you don't want to spoil his life.
I think we're taking it easy, like
you don't spoil his life by letting everybody into it and without his permission. It's his life after all. I'm sure that's your thinking. But with Coco, for example, I mean, I've met her at the launch of your restaurant and a couple of other things. But she really is not looking for attention.
No, not at all.
Did you have to talk her into being in here?
Not at all.
Really?
Like, I don't even have to talk her into anything. She is the way she is. And she's quite adamant about how she runs her life, you know, and that I appreciate. Like, she's never put pressure on me. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've been able to achieve what I've been able to achieve in the last 6 years is that she's really been a support structure more than anything, which I think is one of the biggest blessings I've been given in life. But when it came to the book specifically, like I had when I thought I'm writing a book, I was like, oh my God, who am I going to dedicate this book to? You know,
Cause
it's the first thing you think about even before you write anything. You're like, who am I, you know, who's it going to be dedicated to? And excuse me, I didn't put my son as the dedication because I wanted people to know that I have a son. I put him as a dedication because I know that one day he's going to grow up and one day he's going to be able to read
and
one day he's going to see that my dad dedicated something to him. And that's the only reason I did it. And that's why, like, it hasn't been, nobody's spoken about it because it's just been by the by. I haven't pushed it. I haven't gone like, yo, I've got a son. Can I be on the front cover of your magazine?
No,
like,
sure.
I don't care about that. Like, I just want him to know that when I was doing my thing, I thought of him and I did everything for him. And that's like this book. It's not about, as much as I did it for people that love what I do, I also did it for my friends and my family as a dedication so that they can, it can be something that they're proud of, you know, more than anything.
Well, you're a very, grateful guy. I mean, you say how many people in your life have contributed to you being where you are now.
Yeah.
That's important, right? It's really important to say thank you to the people who are part of it.
It's so important. And I think that it happens on a daily, you know, I think it's something that, you know, I can't you know, mention how many people have shaped me. You know, people shape me every day of my life. And that's something that, that encourages me every day. You know, when I come and do an interview with you and we chat and I see how you perceive me, it shapes me. It encourages me. And I think that's on a smaller scale. And then you've got people like my mom and my wife and my brother that are such integral people that have shaped me in ways that are not measurable. Mm. So we're nothing without people, man. And I think that's one of the things that I've been instilled, you know, by my mom. You know, my mom was always somebody that reminded me that you can only get so far with people, around you.
Yeah. You mentioned your brother as well. I mean,
yeah,
that's the first time I've really heard you talk about him in writing or in interviews.
Yeah. My brother is 10 years older than me and he's, you know, he's been like a father figure because I didn't grow up with my dad. I didn't grow up with my brother either. Yeah. You know, I left Portugal when I was 7 and I came here with my mom and my dad and then they split up. So we've been apart our whole lives. But funny enough, we've always been there. We're brothers, you know, so mm-hmm. It's like you can't separate that.
Yeah, that link is strong. Yeah. Man. And you have this little thing on the back of your shirt too. That's like
on the back of my
dad,
chef's
right?
jacket. Yeah. My chef at my restaurant, Chef Ramon, he planned to do that because, you know, when you walk into my restaurant, there's a big painting at the back of the wall of my dad and I, and that's what we call the heart piece of the restaurant. And that's, my dad worked for Sun International for 25 years, and then I got offered a restaurant by Sun International. Like, how bizarre is that?
That is amazing.
2 weeks after my dad passed, that's when it happened. So I was just like, this is weird. So you're on the back of my chef's jacket. It's honor
memory.
Of my dad. Yeah.
Is it hard to run a restaurant?
It's a nightmare, man.
It's, people don't understand it.
It's a nightmare.
You watch these shows on TV where this little, you know, couple go off to France and they open up some little fish restaurant and it all looks like fun.
No.
It's damn difficult. Buying, the selling, the pricing, the menus, the reservations, the staff.
Staff. Let's just do an interview on staff.
So tell me, is there any part of you that regrets this? Because it's huge work.
I think it depends on what degree we're using of regret. There are moments where I'm just like, why am I doing this? This is so crazy.
Because this is not a situation. I need people to understand this. This is not where you just lent your name to a restaurant that's being run by other people.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of people do.
Sure.
There are these famous chefs and these famous food people all over the world who they give you a license to use their name. And they'll kind of look at the menu once every 6 months and they'll say, oh, maybe you want to change the color on that wall or whatever. This is not what you're doing.
No.
You're hands on here.
Yeah. Myself and Sun International, we are partners and it's been like the first 3 months were amazing. It was like, you know, new relationship.
Yeah,
it was romantic,
sure.
Honeymoon
euphoria.
Phase. And we were all like, you know, hissed up and we were all just like, let's do this. And the first 3 months we made a lot of money and everything was amazing. You know, the service was great. The food was amazing. And then the next 3 months were just like, what just happened? You know, like staff caught stealing and they're like, you know, people are leaving and people are complaining like mental. And then I got my little dream or my little Instagram post has led to me having a restaurant that employs like 68 people. And that for me is like, it's weird and it's crazy. It's scary to think that I have got so much responsibility around that.
Yeah.
But I must say, like, And it's not like a plug, but it's just been like an amazing, because I grew up with Sun International. I grew up living in their hotels and in their staff villages and that sort of thing. Like they have, they run a good ship, man. Like they're not perfect.
They do.
But they run a damn good ship. So sometimes I do sit back and I'm just like, I'll let them do what they know how to do.
Right.
And I'll do what I know how to do. But yeah, it's been, it hasn't been, it's probably one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, looking back. Because, you know, when you do your thing, I can do my thing and let me do my thing. I'll run with my thing. But when you're doing it with 68 other people and you're trying to manage them and make sure that they on the same wavelength, same passion level, like it's impossible. It's near impossible. So, my mom always told me, like, cause she ran a restaurant for 18 years. She's just like, dude, like it's going to be so hard. It's so hard. And it has been just
Don't you call her in and say, hey, listen.
Oh, she's been there. Yeah, she's been there.
Manage it for me for a while.
My mom is like a proper Latin woman. So I'm like worried when I take her there because she might just flip out at everybody.
Right.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Because you got to shout at them sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Like there isn't a restaurant in the world where at some point the chef doesn't lose his shit.
Yeah, dude. And I'm not very good at that. So.
No, you don't like conflict.
No,
at
no,
all,
I'm not.
Huh?
Yeah. I'm not very. I've tried
happens,
to learn.
What happens when you guys have arguments when you're on tour and you and Duda and Mo have arguments? Do you just back away?
I think that's been one of the tough things about Mikasa is that we all like don't like conflict.
So what happens?
All three
you
of
all
us.
Just,
so
you
we
just
all
walk
like,
out
just
of the
like,
room in different directions.
We kind of don't say anything, and then maybe Mo and I will say, "Hey, man, that was wrong. What happened there?" You know, like we don't say it. So we've tried to learn now. It's one of our goals to like just be more open about.
How does
things.
It work with you and Coco?
No, we're very good at
you're
saying, yeah, yeah. We're very good at like just lashing out and stuff. But we are. We've had a good run so far.
I think you've had an amazing run. I think 2017 is really your year. I can't think of a South African who's made more of all the opportunities that he's
Thanks,
created for himself
it.
And that have been created for him. And I just love the fact that we're seeing an evolution here. This is what I love. Everybody knew you were Jay Something from Mikasa, right? And even when you did your solo stuff, it was Jay Something. We had an idea that we could put you in that box. You were
this
musician. You were the singer. This was the stuff you did. And then you go and you screw up everybody's idea of who you are. No, this is great. Because only the people close to you knew this before. And now we see that there's this whole other side to you. And there are going to be other sides to you. I love when we can break down those boxes and we can destroy the labels. We can get into like what people's abiding passions are, what it is that turns them on, what drives them forward, what makes them interesting to be around.
Yeah.
And you are one of those people who's interesting to talk to.
No, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I've never ever thought, Jay's coming in. I need a list of questions. Do you see any papers?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Get your book in front of me.
No, it's been awesome. And it's been always great chatting to you. And I think that, and I'm always grateful when I come here because I always leave feeling motivated, which is a weird thing, which doesn't happen.
Oh, well, we love you, dude. And
no,
well
thanks,
done, man.
Thank
well,
you so
well
much.
Done. This is amazing.
Bless you, man.
Congrats
thanks.
On the book. It's called Something's Cooking. It's Jay Something's new book. It's number one. You cannot miss it in all the good bookstores in South Africa. And it is chock full of amazing recipes that we even found a couple that Sia, who's a renowned complex vegetarian stroke vegan and doesn't eat anything healthy. We even found stuff in here that he would like to eat.
Wow.
That's saying something.
Nice.
So here we go.
There's something that I didn't mention just before just before we close off. There's that little QR code on the back there of the book.
Yes.
Every chapter's got a QR code at the beginning of every chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's seven chapters. There's seven QR codes. Each QR code will take you to an Apple playlist of music that you can cook to. And the whole vibe, and it's been compiled by seven of my favorite DJs from the country. So we've got Greg Maloka that did the South African chapter. We've got Kid Funk from 5FM, who's one of my favorite DJs. You know, Ken Zero, Dr. Duda, I did a mix. So the whole idea is that when you're cooking from the Portugal chapter, you listening to Portuguese type music, bossa nova, sort of Brazilian style.
Right.
So that's another cool thing about it is that, you know, get your little Bluetooth speaker out or whatever you've got and listen to some music while you cook. Cause that's for me is what's
what
fun
you
about
do.
It. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Love it, dude.
Cool, man.
Congrats, man.
Bless, man. Thanks,
cool.
Gareth.
This is CliffCentral.com.